Well, what a powerful service already this morning. And I was trying to figure out how does this relate? The message I want to share is about a wall. About a wall. I've been studying so much about in Nehemiah right lately, just about the whole Jerusalem wall. And you know, this morning with the young families and the fathers that were up here, grandfathers, I'm desperate. For fathers to be real. An earthquake can shatter life all around. A tornado can wipe out everything in your possessions. A drunk driver can claim a life of an innocent child or person. One screw in a board can devastate a deck. And in spite of all these things, we can so quickly cry out and say, "Where is God?" Where is God in all this? As you look at the walls of Jerusalem, we think about the story, and I'm not going to go back and dig into it. I wanted to, but I'm just going to try and brief it. The story of Jerusalem when God's children were exiled out of Jerusalem to Babylon, the walls were torn down, broken down. Three times, God had someone lead them back to Jerusalem. They had the freedom to do that. Some did, some didn't. Some chose to, some didn't. But what I find ironic is the second time they went back, Ezra rebuilt the temple, which was the place of worship inside the walls of Jerusalem. And as he rebuilt that temple, just laying the foundation to rebuild the temple where God lived, there was a huge, huge cry of rebellion against building that temple. In fact, it was so huge, the enemies of God rose up and tried to do everything possible to stop that building of the temple. And I think the children of Israel felt a little bit like in Psalm 137. I think it says it the best. When they come back in there and they want to rebuild the temple, they were sitting in a city with the walls all torn down. And yet they were continuing on to meet. They were continuing on to worship, to come into the temple, bring their sacrifices, bring their offerings. And yet the walls were down around the whole city. And what is so wrong with the walls being down around the whole city was the enemy could come in and out at leisure. Anytime. He could just come in and walk out. The enemies of God could come in and out. And fathers, as I saw this morning with the baby dedication, my prayer is that you would recognize whether or not the walls in your spiritual house are down. Is the temple. Most times we understand, and what I want to relate this to is the temple in the center of that city. The temple is just like your spiritual house. When you became a Christian, you repented of your old life. You invited Christ to come in and be Lord of Lords and King of Kings of your life. That is the temple where God wants to reside. He wants to be there. He wants to worship. His Spirit wants to flow through you. He wants to be all of you. That is only the beginning. And you know that I don't see the enemy being as much concerned about the temple. There was a cry went up, but they soon left to go and they rebuilt the temple. But the worst cry, the worst part where they fought against, where the enemies of God fought against, is when Nehemiah chose to start rebuilding the walls. Now, there's something ironic about it, though. In Ezra 4, and you can turn there if you want, Ezra 4, 1 through 5. This is when they started, this is when Ezra, in the book of Ezra, when they started rebuilding the temple. And I want to just say this here. In rebuilding the temple, I want to say that in rebuilding the temple, you're laying a foundation for the life of God. You're laying a foundation for the life of God where God can reside. He wants to then build a secure place for Him and you to worship. That's what He wants. In Ezra 4, 1-5, when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, "Let us help you build, because like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered, 'You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it to the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us to.'" What I see here is most of us, first of all, without getting this too confusing here, because I don't want to go back and lay a lot of detail out of the original. Most of us know that we should not ever let God's enemy help us build a temple, right? If we have a temple, if we are the temple of the living God, we are not going to allow the enemy to come in and try and help us build a temple for God. No. But who is the enemy? Who is the enemy? I see a lot of people, and I meet a lot of people, that are walking around in confusion. They say, "But I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I am a Christian." And I say, "Yes, yes." But they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle. And I wonder, where are the walls? Where are the walls? And I'm not talking about physical walls. I'm not talking about walls here in the church. I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm talking about spiritual walls. Where are the walls? Can true spirit life be built with the enemies of God? Ask yourself, can true spirit life be built with the enemies of God? When in reality, the enemies of God, they hate God. No. So that idea having failed in Ezra, they're reading in Ezra, then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and to make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans. Okay? So much like today, so much of it is like today. As the foundations of repentance and faith are formed in your heart, you're laying a foundation. Who shows up to help? Who shows up to help when you want to start laying a foundation in your heart for God to reside? Who shows up to help? Willpower. Willpower, number one. I think of willpower and selfishness. They show up to help immediately. And guess what? They are enemies of God. They are enemies of God. They're not going to help you build a wall. When we can actually see through the cover of what we are trying to build our spiritual house on, what is it that we're agreeing with? What is it that we're making agreements with Satan? And yet we're claiming to be a Christian and we're making agreements with Satan, trying to build a spiritual house so that we can have pure worship with God. What is it? The wall. Nehemiah 1. And I'm going to read this, the chapter of Nehemiah 1. It's not real long. And I want you to understand as I read it, when they came back, this is now when Nehemiah had just crying out. He saw the people living there in Jerusalem. They were still going through the motions of worship. They were still going through all these motions, but there was no protection. The walls were down. The temple was there, but the walls were down. Okay? There was still a temple within them ruins. The temple is where God lived and was to be worshipped. But something was missing. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakalei. Okay, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands and decrees and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. There they are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Now I want you to know something. Right there he was just crying out. Okay, there Nehemiah was praying and he says, these are your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. And I would like to say this morning that I believe that everyone sitting here, I would like to say that you are God's people. If you have Christ as your Lord Redeemer, you are God's people that he has bought with a great price. Now, the thing that really bothers me is the wall. Where is the wall of protection for God's house, for your spiritual life? What are the walls? Okay, I don't understand why when they were working on the temple, it wasn't near as much of a fight, but when they started building the walls, and by the way, it only took them 52 days to rebuild the walls around that city. And I don't know the dimensions of that city. I didn't look that up. I don't know if somebody does, but the dimension of that city, it was huge. And it took them 52 days to rebuild that wall. And it was so frustrating. The enemies of God were so furious about them rebuilding them walls around there. Because the one thing that would happen, if they would build a wall about there, the enemies of God would be on the outside. They would be cast out. I think so many times in our lives today, in our spiritual battles, we want to rebuke the enemy, but we have no walls. There's nothing there to stop them from coming right back in. And we leave them gates down, and we leave them walls down, and we open ourselves up to the spiritual warfare and say, oh, well, it's not much I can do. There is. Understand that Satan is the enemy of God. And he will do whatever it takes to stop you from building up a wall that says you can't come in here. Because behind this wall is where God and I commune. This is where we worship. This is where I worship an almighty God, behind this wall. Now, what are the walls that we're talking about that are spiritual? What for spiritual walls do we struggle with? What are your walls? Okay? How about the wall of forgiveness? Maybe the wall of forgiveness has been broken down. And you know what? Somebody hurt me and I refuse to forgive them. Right there, that wall comes crumbling down. And we give the enemy free access to everything inside our city, where we are supposed to be worshiping God, where we are supposed to have be in tune with God. How about the gate of holiness? Has it been burned by the fires of this world? The gate of holiness. Has it been burned by the fires of this world? Have we made agreements with this world that the gate of holiness can't even stand? It's been burned. It's been wasted. And the world has free access. How about the wall of peace? Wall of peace. Maybe it has a section missing where fear walks in and out regularly. How's your life? Maybe the wall of peace has been broken down and fear can just come in and out at random, anytime it feels like it. How about walls of brotherly love? Maybe they have holes of hurt in them. Maybe the wall of brotherly love has holes of hurt. And you know what? We decide, I'm not going to repair that. I am not going to repair that, because every time I've tried to repair it, somebody makes fun of me or harasses me or tries to t- take me off course or even hires counselors to try and tell me not to do that. How about walls of patience? Maybe your walls of patience here have been riddled by anger. Guess what? If any of these things, anger, the fires of this world, if any of these things come to you and say, I'll help you build that wall. No, it's the devil. That is of the enemy. How about walls of separation where we separate ourselves from the world? We are called out by his glorious name. How about the walls of separation? Maybe they've been blasted by witchcraft, allowing the enemies of God free access at will. They can do whatever they want. Emotional disturbance, mental blocks, spiritual blindness. They roam around the streets of our cities. And I'm talking about our cities as our house right here. Maybe these things roam around our streets, confusing us, trying to confuse us. Taking up residence in every little wound that's in our life. Everywhere we have a little bit of a wound, them things will take up residence if we have no wall. Accusation. Maybe accusation has destroyed the relationship walls. Maybe we have a spirit of accusation that's destroying relationship walls. And I don't like him, and I don't like him, and I don't like him. And I can be accusing of people. And I can be accusing of everything they do. And it'll destroy relationship. It'll just destroy it. Are we allowing that? In that type of relationship, if we are using accusations in relationships, there's no trust to be found anymore, and the trust is hidden under the rubble of the fallen down wall. We no longer trust. We can't even find truth. Division. Division abducts our youth regularly. But the worst one is the chamber room of the Most High, where God resides. It's the chamber room in the temple where God resides in our life. What is there? What is there? Maybe it's been leased out to Mr. Emotion. Or maybe it's been leased out to Mr. Dead. Who is in the chamber room of our temple? I don't know about you, but when I think of all these things and I see it in people's lives and I struggle, and I have my own struggles, don't get me wrong. But as I ponder and I hear and I hear the struggles, I wonder, what's it going to take to rebuild them spiritual walls? What's it going to take to build up walls of protection that God can commune with you? What's it going to take? Are we going to try and build them walls with anger, bitterness, unforgiveness? I don't know about you, but when those words hit me, I can't do nothing but weep. I long to see the restoration in people to really enjoy communion with God. To really, really enjoy communion with God. To see the day where once again the enemies of God can be cast out. And you know what? You cannot cast out the enemy of God without having a wall, because they'll just come right back in. And the way we build that wall, this morning I just cry to you all to be building a spiritual wall is by repentance. It's by repentance and forgiving and loving and caring for each other, brotherly love. That's how we build the walls that this enemy cannot come in, that the enemy cannot destroy. We need to recognize them in our lives. If we don't recognize them in our lives, there's nothing to build. There's nothing. Many people walk around in today's world, and I meet them all the time. They have done nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with their life. It's everybody else's fault. And in that, every wall in that city is torn down. There's not a wall standing. when I meet people like that in prison or even in our churches, I can't help but weep and say, you know what, if you could only stop and look at your city and realize that your walls are all down everywhere, they're all torn down. Because until we take responsibility, to build them walls up, just like Nehemiah did when he marched back into that city, and he got all them families together, and in unity and love and brotherly love and caring, they worked around that wall. They had lots of opposition, lots of struggles, lots of fighting going on. They even had to carry a weapon in one hand and build the wall with the other. It was so strong, the opposition, to be building them spiritual walls. So when you try and forgive someone, you may say, well, I tried, but you know what? They rejected me. Oh, that hurts. You know what? We got to be able to fight against them things. We got to understand that in Christ we are complete, we are whole. Who are we? In Christ we are 100% complete, 100% full in Christ alone. Most of us don't rest there. We want to dabble in our hurts and our wounds. And we do need to work through them, don't get me wrong. We need to work through them. But then we need to build a wall, a protection that says, you know what? It's God and I here. I'm not gonna make agreements with Satan anymore that tells me I am nothing or I am worthless or I am whatever Satan's trying to feed you. Will we build them walls of protection? As you think of that, as you build a wall by forgiving, by loving, by caring, the enemy is going to get angry. It's going to be hard work. You may get tired and even discouraged in the process. You will have to fight while building. You will have to fight while you're building them walls. Some of the enemies of God will pretend to be your friend. That is one of the most dangerous. Some mocking will be directed at you. But true freedom awaits those who persevere. Now, the one thing I just want to close with is this. In building a spiritual wall around the house of God inside you, in building that wall, it is literally by repenting and laying down and releasing, and God will build the wall of protection. It's not my way. It's all about your way. It's not how I see things. It's not how I want to do it. It's not how I want to get even or whatever it is. It's by laying our life down and saying, God, I surrender. I completely surrender. And in His temple, in His court, He's going to want to build a wall of protection where He can just have worship with you and Him. There's nothing more glorious than to have that freedom of worship with you and Him. In closing, I would like you to turn to Revelation 21. My prayer is that we would build them spiritual walls of forgiveness, love, brotherly love, kindness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Revelation 21, starting at verse 5. He says, He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. I will be his God, and he will be my son. This morning my prayer is that could we build them spiritual walls? Could we rebuild the walls of Jerusalem around the city where God wants to dwell? God wants to dwell within there, but you know what? If there is anger, lust, bitterness, grief, all these things are torn down walls or burned out gates, and the enemy just comes freely in and out. So the way to rebuild them is recognize them, recognize where that's at, and let's pray and ask God's guidance to be able to lay our life down, that we can forgive our brother, that we can love our brother, that we can do whatever God is asking us to do in that, that does line up with the Word of God. Let's pray. God, I just come to you and I thank you for life. God, I thank you for the life that you have given each one of us and that you so much want to dwell within us. You so want to live your life through each one of us. And God, you desire a complete wall, like the wall of Jerusalem, where you can abide in safety, where you can abide within each one of us and commune with us. So God, I just pray that if there is walls that are torn down, that you would prompt people to an awakening, to realize that the walls that are torn down need to be rebuilt. That the joy and the love that you want each one of us to share will only come as we build them walls and repair them for your honor and for your glory. God, we thank you for what you are doing and what you will do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's a...